Well, I have my notes for this. We'll get this.
Lovely, I got notes.
We'll get this Valentine's one out of the way right quick. Make it nice and concise so that I can edit it quickly and get it posted by Wednesday or whatever. Welcome to the Feudal Podcast. If you want to send us an email, you can send us an email at feudalpodcast@gmail.com. Yammer, yam, yam. Tonight we're going to talk about love is the theme, or love theme, or romantic comedies, or tragedies, and so on and so forth for Valentine's Day. I have a little bit of a headache. I think maybe I am.
Are you sick?
No.
I just recovered.
He's just depressed.
2 days.
It seems like there's two main genres of films that would fall into the love theme. There are the romantic comedies, and then there's sort of the romantic tragedies. Well, I mean, you could say that there's comedy and tragedy and all forms of drama and whatnot, and so that's pretty much the way it goes. I don't know, I listed a couple romantic comedies. You got movies like Overboard, one of my favorites, which I think is underappreciated, except it's on TBS every 2 weeks. So
I don't think you can call that a romantic comedy.
You don't think that's a romantic comedy? Mm-hmm. Why? Because you don't dislike it with all
no,
passion?
Because romantic comedies are
like fool's gold.
Very specifically
no.
geared toward the romance part of it.
Really?
Just, if it's not leaning toward romance, it's a comedy.
Yeah, but there's a lot more comedy in Overboard than there is... A lot more romance in Overboard than there's comedy.
It's just one of those, like... It's a movie like The Money Pit. Would you call The Money Pit a romantic comedy? It's just a comedy that happens to have two people...
I think they're a little more sufferable, aren't they? They're not as relentlessly ridiculous than... Okay.
In The Money Pit?
No, I mean in terms of, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's a comedy that has romance in it rather than just a straight-up comedy. But you're right, maybe my...
I'm just thinking of, like, when I think of romantic comedy, I think of...
You think of terrible movies.
Fool's Gold.
Love Actually, Fool's Gold.
Seth was saying we can talk about that one, but I haven't seen that, so I can't talk about Love Actually. I haven't seen that one.
It's not really worth talking about. Yeah. It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah,
ooh,
it sounds stupid.
What about... Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
I was going to mention that.
Well,
yeah.
It's not a comedy. But
it's a romantic,
like a romantic
film,
romantic
though.
Movie.
Yeah.
It isn't?
I was going to even say that one counts as sort of
I thought it was.
I think romantic also has to do as much with the style of it, which is like...
You think style, really?
Well, yeah, I think that...
Are you talking about narrative style?
It comes across as something that is sentimental and...
So it has to inherently be just sort of you're putting it in this position where it has no choice but to be bad.
That's
much.
What I think when I see when
sappy
I see
and terrible.
Because you know,
is Romancing the Stone a
no.
romantic comedy?
It's an adventure.
So
it's got romantic
in
the name.
So then the one you mentioned this new one, this Fool's Gold one, that seems like a romantic Romancing the Stone adventure comedy romance kind of thing.
It doesn't show him fighting anyone at any
That's
point.
True.
It just shows them finding gold and then,
together,
and then kissing
and having hijinks,
and
then being unhappy.
Flying planes.
That's a lot more of. I think they were just trying to play off the huge box office draw of Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, probably. Okay, so I put Gross Point Blank and Better Off Dead in there
right.
too, but neither one of those are probably romantic
Better Off
comedies.
Dead is, I would say, is as close as you can get. The thing is, when John Cusack is younger, say anything is romantic.
Oh yeah, that
know
one.
If it's comedy, it's
no,
barely comedy.
That's true. Yeah.
But something like Better Off Dead falls into the teen comedy category, which kind of by
the
default,
80s comedy,
kind of by default has to be not just
yeah.
80s thing. Think about 10 Things I Hate About You.
Exactly.
R.I.P.
Well, that's
beep.
Yeah, and that's another Shakespeare reference thing.
It is, but that ends up being kind of a romantic thing because everyone in the whole thing has love interest,
yeah.
which happens in all of Shakespeare's comedies.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't say that you could, you know, it's to the point where, like, if it's younger cast, it's going to be more crude.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a certain type of style of movie, I think, that comes into the teen comedy thing. Because teen comedies are always about romance. There's never
but sometimes,
there's,
but there's a little more, like,
was Good Luck Chuck?
No.
Romantic comedy?
No, it's a gross-out comedy. A gross-out comedy is by default, something that's rated R and full of bodily functions. And
yeah,
it also
functions.
Has love as the thing. I don't think you could say that Something About Mary is really a romantic comedy.
What about
it's close.
As Good As It Gets?
As Good As It Gets is just a dramedy. I can tell you, you give me any movie, any so far,
and you can,
so-called
you can identify
movie,
it?
I can tell you what subgenre it belongs to.
So
in my own mind.
That's why we're doing a podcast.
I'm not saying that it's...
That's your talent, and I appreciate that.
It's only can be things that are supposed to be comedic, though.
And then we've got romantic tragedy. So we've got things like, which essentially are always
like
sort of
Las Vegas and
or
well,
no,
City
no,
of Angels.
I've got yeah, I listed that yeah. Romeo and Juliet is basically the rubric for under which all these are set.
The Rubric's Cube.
Yeah, the Rubric's Cubed, where you've got. I mean, in that case, you could argue that it's more of a lust situation than a love thing, you know, because they're just young kids and their passions are burning and whatnot. Then you've got West Side Story is sort of an adaptation of Romeo and Juliet. Essentially, that's exactly what it is. It's a Western, Westernization slash, it's not really a Western.
Can you Westernize something that's British?
No, it's,
you might be able
it's to. It's a musicalization of, and modernization of the same story. It seems like usually if you have a drama with love in it, that it's pretty much always going to have tragic elements in it. I'm trying to think of any movies that are straight up drama. I guess with romance, I think As Good As It Gets kind of has some aspects of tragedy, but not really. It seems like it kind of ends happily, right? He decides to start taking his meds, and maybe he's going to be a better man and so forth.
It's, I hate that movie.
Okay, hiccup,
that movie sucks.
What?
That hit you hard, didn't it?
You kind of look like you have AIDS, Blaine.
I think you've said this before.
Have I?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime anyone looks a little off color, I usually assume they have AIDS. You got the AIDS, right? Let me ask you something.
Do I have AIDS?
So, when you see something like...
Ooh, what about Juno? Would that be a romantic comedy?
No, I don't think so. It's a quirky comedy. Ooh. It falls into the Wes Anderson thing, but except for it's probably more lighthearted. There's not people dying in it.
And as we've already discussed, it's less complex in its quirkiness.
Yeah, babies died.
Though it did get nominated for Best Picture, which means it must be fantastic.
Yeah, right. What is up with that?
It's this year's Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, you have to... If they call something this year's something, that means it has to be nominated.
That's fantastic.
This year's A Dungeon Siege. I don't know next year's A Dungeon Siege show. But I heard that Uwe Boll's... They're no longer the German subsidy thing ran out, and they're no longer giving it to him because he doesn't make any money for them. Like, he had to make any money back ever. So they said, we're not doing this anymore because of you. And so he's being dropped from the company that usually backs him up, whatever it is, like Canal or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he said, next thing I do is going to be really low budget, you know, so I can prove to investors that I can make money for them. And they're like, what's it going to be? And it was like some pseudo-porn, like, zombie thing. I don't know, you know, something ridiculous. Like, it's going to be real low-key.
It's going to be romantic.
Is it based on zombie?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Because you can buy really crappy video game rights cheap. He doesn't pick good video games to buy, you know?
You do World of Warcraft.
That would cost way too much. He has
to just be Lord of the Rings.
Like, a lot of the movie rights that he buys are movies that you can buy, like,
you mean video games?
The video game rights that he buys are like video games that you can buy for like $4.99 in a bargain bin somewhere. Like,
just do Hellbender.
Alone,
you ever played that old game?
Alone in the Dark. Have you ever played that? You can buy it for like $2.
I thought that was a movie.
It is. That's from a video game. It's a Uwe Boll movie.
Wow.
It's terrible.
It's all coming together.
Anyway, if Uwe Boll did a romantic comedy, it'd probably be something like Fool's Gold. I assume. I don't know.
Looks pretty bad.
Yeah, the movie's supposed to be terrible.
Then we have... I want to get back to outlaw protagonists, outlaw heroes here in this, because there has been some instances of romance in films where the quote-unquote happily ever after doesn't happen. And one that I thought is kind of interesting. So, basically, I pointed to Jack Burton in Big Trouble in Little China. At the end, he's got that great line, sooner or later, I rub everybody the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sort of leaves. He doesn't say goodbye. He doesn't care. So that romance that he sort of has with Kim Cattrall, which is just sort of a quick, like, throwaway thing, is essentially just that. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And you kind of got to like that about some... But it's rare in most movies. Usually there's some kind of forced love interest that sort of works its way in but I guess it's not really so much romance movies, but just regular movies a lot of times.
What about Sweeney Todd?
Sweeney Todd.
Was that a romantic movie?
No.
It was a whimsical fair.
But the romantic...
It was driven by... Never mind.
The thing, though, that, you know, to put the word romantic in front of whatever the genre is, indicates that the romance has to be the overriding aspect of it, I think.
Yeah.
And you either have, like Ian said, you either have a romantic drama, which is probably something like Atonement, I know what happens in it, so I can tell you it is like a dumb
movie. Okay, that's why I figured it was something like that. It looks pretty terrible.
No, it's actually pretty. It's supposed to be good. Cool. Sounds pretty cool. Maybe. And then the romantic comedy, which is what I was going to say was, if you think about something like
Hitch.
So the teen movie is something like 10 Things I Hate About You, She's the Man, stuff like that, where the comedy is really the focal point of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to something like She's All That or Hitch or something mm-hmm. like that, the romance is absolutely the focus point of it. And you can tell who these have been geared toward.
She's All That is another teen one, right?
It is a teen one, but the romance is the overriding aspect of it, and it's one of those things where you
can
tell...
Well, because it's a Pygmalion thing, right? Kind of, isn't it? No, there's no bet in Pygmalion. What's the bet thing's been done before, though, right? Isn't it some kind of reference to an older story?
I'm sure it is.
So it's not Pygmalion.
Tale as old as time.
It's not Pygmalion. It's not... Guy takes...
Cyrano de Bergerac or something like that.
No, it's not that one, because that was the...
it's Roxanne.
Roxanne, yeah.
And also, Schindler's List is based on that.
Yeah.
So, the idea is that... If you focus on the romantic aspect of it, and it looks like it's geared toward women, and the jokes in there are something that some...
That have more of an awe
dumb
factor.
Dumb broad would laugh at. If a dumb broad is going to laugh at the joke, and you say, and you look at this joke that happens on screen, and you say, if I had a really dumb broad next to me and she laughed, that would mean that...
It's a romantic movie?
Yeah, it's a romantic movie.
Oh, I mentioned whimsical stories. There's some weird whimsical stuff sometimes on TV. And then we've got, for TV shows, we've got sort of the paradigm of what I guess happens in a lot of these romantic comedies, which is sort of a Sam and Diane from Cheers thing, where there's mm-hmm. the opposites attract, they hate each other, and then everything...
And Dicker argue, and they make sweet love.
And then, so we have Sam and Diane kind of in the 80s, and it seems like we had the Ross and Rachel from Friends in the 90s, and now we have the Jim and Pam thing mm-hmm. on The Office. But the thing about it is, the Jim and Pam thing was
it's
different.
It's Michael.
Okay.
I knew it.
So.
Those would be.
I knew it. You're so proud of your powers of deduction. What are the chances that it would be my
gun? Well, actually, last time that happened, it was awesome. And great.
Yeah.
So.
You just have random people showing up during the podcast.
Are you trying to get him pissed off?
No.
And so, yeah, so apparently they've given up on the whole opposites thing because the Jim and Pam thing is a little more like they just get along and that's the beginning, that's the way that seems
right,
to work
out. They're more alike than they are opposite.
Yeah, and they have like a very similar conversation. And so you have to wonder what's going to happen with that because they've actually given up on the whole unrequited aspect of that, which is usually what they keep going back to, like with Sam and Diane, that was the way it was for years. And then we've got all kinds of the schmaltzy stuff, like Harry Met Sally, City of Angels, What Dreams May Come, Titanic.
More like What Dreams May Come.
Exactly.
Whoa. You did it.
So we're all pretty much... we're all pretty much inclined to agree that this is
these are just terrible, ridiculous ideas, but by and large...
Here's something. So, there's some movies that...
What about If It Could Happen to You? The Nicolas Cage movie. Is that what
that's a romantic comedy,
yeah,
for sure.
That's
absolutely romantic
comedy.
Because it's not that funny, and it's about love.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
well, isn't it
the White Men Can't Jump is about comedy, and not so much about
yeah,
love.
White Men Can't Jump isn't a romantic comedy. I wouldn't argue that.
How about this? This movie is pure romantic, take a chick to a movie on Valentine's Day thing. Amelie. It's not really funny.
It's all whimsical.
It's
whimsical.
Really drama. And it's not like... It's whimsical in a certain way. It's not,
No, but it's got magic and weird
garbage. It doesn't have
magic?
No, it doesn't
have
magic.
It's got, imagination.
She has, like, a really wild imagination, and while she's doing
and
things...
And it's colorful,
like,
and
yeah.
it's unrealistic.
It's
the
a
way
Genet
it's, like,
a Genet.
It's like, have you seen that show on ABC called Pushing Daisies? That's very whimsical.
Yeah.
It's another Brian Fuller show. All the shows are very whimsical, and they always have a female protagonist that has a masculine name.
That's a romantic movie. So is something like, Ghost. Ghost is a romantic drama, you know. We haven't seen Ghost, directed by the airplane guy.
Yeah, Zucker.
Which Zucker? Do you remember?
I don't think I give
the
a shit
good
about
one?
Ghost.
It's Jerry. I don't remember.
No,
it might have been
yeah.
Jerry. And then what about this? I was just going to say Ghost again. I already said Ghost.
What's on right now?
No, this one's called Men at War. It's Dolph Lundgren beating people's ass for an hour and a half.
Oh, Drago.
He's still around.
Bongs made of bamboo.
You remember, Ian, remember the best line from Showdown in Little Tokyo?
Oh, the one about his dicks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dicks? He has more than one.
Dicks. Dolph Lundgren runs out of right inside of a room and
after he's banging Tia Carrere.
After he banged Tia Carrere
in the hot tub.
Oh, they end up going back. No, they don't do it in the hot tub. They kiss and then that's it. Then he goes to
just
sleep.
Like Al Pacino and
he goes to sleep on his mat. He goes to sleep on his mat and she comes in and she goes, "I'm scared." And he's like, "Well, you can lay here next to me." Like totally, completely emotionless, you know, like he acts. And then she lays there for like 2 seconds, then she's like, and starts making out with him, and then they do it. And then there's a line before that. Gosh, it's all setups of lines. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the movie, he says, "Stay here and hold this shotgun. If somebody comes through that door, you shoot them." And she's like, "What if it's you?" He goes, "You won't hear me coming." Right? You got that? So then later on in the movie, they have sex. And as they finish, she goes, "I heard you coming that time."
Right? And then he breaks her neck.
No, so anyway, then he runs out of the room. And Bruce Lee's dead son is there. And he goes...
But he's not dead yet, though.
No, he was still alive at this point, Brandon Lee. And he goes, "Whoa, man." You know, like, because he sees him naked. And he's like... Then they start getting shot at and stuff. And guys, ninjas start trying to break in. And he goes, "Hey, if we're about to die here, I just want to let you know. You've got the biggest dick I've ever seen." And he goes, "Thanks."
What?
Yeah.
That was buddy cop banter for that point.
It was buddy cop
in a way, it was. I guess that was a romantic comedy.
It was kind of romantic.
It was just, homosexual subtext between the two of them.
I think the funniest parody of any romantic comedy thing is Hot Fuzz, just because it totally is set up like a romantic comedy between two people who have the thing where they don't get along when they get together, and then they have
to team up and work together.
But they just do it with cops. But they even parody the thing where they're at their house and they fall in love and then they have sex. But with them, it's that they fall asleep watching Bad Boys 2, which is they're sitting on the couch and he goes, "I just don't know how to turn it off." And he goes, and his head's like right next to him, turns to him, and he goes, "I can help you turn it off." And he goes, "How?" And then he like pulls out, you know, Bad Boys 2 and Point Break. And they sit there and watch it, and then they fall asleep like with their heads on their shoulders. Like basically, it's interesting to think that, like that's a good example of how a good comedy doesn't need to have any romantic interest in it. But they were still making fun of the romantic comedy in there
a little bit, I think,
which they did in Shaun of the Dead as well. They didn't make fun of it; they actually had it in there. They had the romance. In fact, they call it their rom-com, which is zombie romantic comedy. That's what Edgar Wright calls it. So,
okay,
it's not really a romantic comedy, but that's the idea.
It has a little bit of that. Yeah.
Once again, the interplay between Nick Frost and Simon Pegg is more important than him and a woman. It's like the bros before hoes thing.
Yeah, I think that seems to happen a lot in films. That happens in all, like, both the Clerk films.
Superbad.
Yeah. Well, kind of. Well, Superbad, they end up with girls, and they separate and they look at each other longingly for a bit, like they know that that's the end.
Is them like needing each other to begin with, and they kind of separate, and they're angry at each other, and then they end up getting back right before the end. And they have that scene where they're in the sleeping bags in the basement, and they have that really gay conversation with each other. And then at the very end, they're mature enough at that point to go their separate ways and be able to separate with these new people in their lives,
and they've moved on. Would you say, like, Knocked Up is a straight-up romantic comedy?
No.
You don't think so? Really?
What?
What about 40-Year-Old Virgin? I think those are both pretty obvious romantic comedies.
I would put them in the area of...
They're not gross out.
They're not gross out. I'd say they're just comedy.
Because you can stand them?
No, because most comedy, like I said, has to have a romantic aspect anyway. There's almost no comedies that don't. You know, every single Adam Sandler movie ends up with him with some chick. You know?
Yeah, it's always very throwaway, though, don't you think?
It is totally throwaway.
Big Trouble in Little China, he doesn't end up with the chick. There's a little romance in it.
But that's the thing, is they put it there, like, that's the thing he's trying to save, like, to keep the plot moving. It's almost like the girls and MacGuffin type thing.
Yeah, it really is, because it really doesn't matter in the end. Yeah, it was totally not. He was just doing it because he needed to get his truck back and needed to get everything figured out. And it was pissing him off, I think.
Right.
And that, I think, is always the best motivation for a protagonist. Because romance rate wears pretty thin.
It does. But, IRL, you know, as well.
Oh yeah, but that's what I mean. I'm always analyzing films in the IRL world.
You think if this film was IRL, what would it mean?
Yeah, like what would really happen? You know.
I gotcha.
And so,
Micah, what's your favorite romantic comedy?
Braveheart.
Yeah, close. Yeah. You got the comedy part right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
One thing that bothers me in that film was that he's so quick to bang the Princess of England or whatever.
Yeah.
When the whole reason he's doing everything is because he's completely heartbroken over his wife getting killed by the British.
I think at a certain point he's just pissed off. Though,
he is,
right?
But I mean, the whole thing that drove him was his wife getting killed, and then he has dreams about her, and she talks to him in his dreams, and he cries when he thinks about her, and then the hot princess comes along, and he's like, "Let's do it," and he puts a little Scotch guy inside
her. He gives her the claymore.
He gave her a claymore. He definitely gave her a claymore. I hope he faced it the right direction.
Oh boy.
I don't like romantic comedies personally.
None of us do, I think.
I'm trying to get this out of the way for Valentine's Day.
What did he call it? Tomcats was pretty funny.
Tomcats is another one where I think that's more of a gross out comedy. Because if it's rated R and it's overtly disgusting, that's meant to just gross you out. And the romance is because in a rated R movie like that, the romance aspect is an excuse to show you some fake tits.
Something About Mary.
Gross out. Any Farrelly Brothers movie is a gross out one. I would say that they tried to do romantic comedy with Heartbreak Kid, and it still ended up being mostly gross out. It was a weird movie. I watched that recently, and it had
Mind of Mencia in it, right?
It had Mind of Mencia in it. Yeah, Ned Holness was in it, and he was really annoying. But the rest of it was like, the romance aspect of it was pretty strong, but it was played with that Farrelly Brothers style, which is like, the girl is always somebody who's like, basically a male. Something about Mary, cool. It's a guy. Yeah. Something about Mary, that's a guy who happens to be a girl, you know? Like, that's what that is. And these guys are like, oh, sweet, it's somebody I can hang out with and watch sports with. And in the same thing in this, he ends up, the chick from Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is the girl he ends up falling in love with, even though he just got married and goes to...
Moynihan?
Yeah. Or Monahan or whatever. And he ends up, hanging out with her and her crazy family and they talk about sports, and they talk about stuff, and then he and her go off and, like, smoke a joint on the beach, and they're just, like, talking about aliens, and, like, ugh. Like, it was basically just a couple of dudes. Like, that's the whole thing is, except, like, that's how they that's their idea of that. That's not a romantic comedy. A romantic comedy is geared toward women, I think. It has to be geared toward women.
Meet the Parents.
That's just a gross-out comedy. The romance is completely... The Terry Polo character is like, so far behind the interplay between Stiller and De Niro that it's just... Yeah. Well, where the romance is in the forefront, that's romantic comedy. So you take something where the absolute, you know, and moments, if it has any moments where somebody would go, oh, in it, either fake or real, if they would go, oh.
It's got to have that generic theme that they bring up in different varying forms each time. It usually has the leap motif. They're both usually ad executives, possibly from movies, different.
Just because I haven't seen any romantic.
Well, there's a lot of movies I haven't seen or seen bits of. Like What Women Want, that's a romantic comedy. Sleepless in Seattle is a romantic comedy.
You Got Mail.
My mom has both those soundtracks.
One Fine Day, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Intolerable Cruelty was their idea of what a romantic comedy would be, but that's really more like a...
Isn't it just a take on Dangerous Liaisons?
No, that's their take of, like...
Oh, Intolerable Cruelty is the Coen film. Yeah. I'm thinking of Cruel Intentions.
Cruel Intentions is, that's not romantic at all.
That's a romantic tragedy, sort of, right?
Yeah, it's not romantic. Dangerous Liaisons is actually a pretty good movie.
What about My Fair Lady?
Pygmalion?
Yeah, if you go back to older stuff, you'll definitely find things for romance are the key, but even in those cases... They were generally some certain type of genre that kind of changed that. I think the real romantic comedy was something that came around probably, in the 80s. Like, it was born out of those...
Born out of the Cameron Crowe kind of thing.
Exactly, born out of those things. Because if you go back before that, you have things like Bringing Up Baby and His Girl Friday and stuff like that.
The screwball comedies.
Screwball comedies where romance is in there, but the comedy is really still the key aspect of it. And if you go to the really opposite end, it's usually a musical, and I don't think you can say a musical is a romantic comedy, because they tend to be kind of...
very flat.
Yeah.
Everyone just kind of ends up together.
Maybe something like Singing in the Rain, but once again, the love part of that is... It's in the forefront, but it's kind of just alongside this guy's career taking off again, and him wanting to produce this big thing that no one wants to see.
Gotta Dance.
It's a good movie, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It's a great movie. Let's see, so I think you're right. Maybe that Crow guy, Cameron Crow, did kind of develop a lot of the first ones because
it's really sentimental.
He did Say Anything, and then he did Singles,
right?
That which I would call romantic comedy, which kind of then would lead you to something like Reality Bites. Would you call Reality Bites a romantic comedy? Even though she ends up with the dirt bag, I always liked it. We talked about that.
I'd say it's fair to say that because that's kind of the point of it. Even though it doesn't really, I mean, it's almost one of those where you could say it doesn't have a point. But
and they usually don't, because the romantic comedy usually has this sort of like happily ever after sentimentalism to it, sort of like.
I would almost say that it came just out of Say Anything, because if you think of Cameron Crowe's other stuff, like, you know, he goes back to the sentiment.
Did he work on Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Didn't he write that?
He wrote it, yeah. That's just a teen comedy.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like, so he started with that, yeah.
What about Wedding Crashers? Or is that one of the crude
It's either a crude one or just a comedy.
Like, but then it kind of... But the thing is, I have trouble with that, because, like, that one and 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up are all ones where, like, the conclusion is this sort of, like... We talked about this before, this Apatow thing, where it's, like, this kind of very, very kind of conservative, you know, guy meets girl, and after tumultuousness... They eventually come together and realize that they can kind of compromise. It's sort of, it's almost kind of realistic in the sense that they're not perfect for each other.
But that just follows the old, like, in almost any movie, there's the thing where, like...
It's just the protagonist getting what they need. It's just the basic drama and narrative
arc. Yeah, but, I mean, because the whole point of Wedding Crashers is the whole wild and crazy stuff they go through with this family and they are in the weddings. And the only part where the romance even takes hold is at the very, very end of it. And even that's surrounded by the comedic aspects of it. And it's not something where, you know, if you can watch one of these movies and think, if Owen Wilson doesn't end up with this girl at the end, I don't care. Yeah. Like, that's not a romantic comedy. If you're watching something like...
It has to tug at your heartstrings. Is that what you're saying?
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The whole point, the absolute point of the film is... These people have to end up together. That's it. But if they don't, then
is it considered just a romantic tragedy?
I don't know. There's a few weird movies like... there was that one with Jennifer Garner that came out with Timothy Oliphant and Kevin Smith. And came out... Catch and Release was what it was called. Really weird. Strange. Like, sounds chopped very, up very really weird. And she had this fiancé. They're about to get married. He ends up dying in a skiing accident or something. She moves into his old house with his three roommates, and his old best friend comes to, and stays with him for a while because he has nothing better to do.
That's Kevin Smith?
No, that's Timothy Oliphant, who ends up being the love interest. But it's pushed off so far. It's that, by definition, is a romantic comedy because it's about romance. It's about this girl's love for people, for her, you know, ex, the dead ex, and now the new guy. Yet, still, their relationship ends up being something in the background. So I wouldn't even call it a romantic comedy except for it's geared toward women and, you know... So it fits all the criteria, but it still has the problem of the romance aspect seems like a secondary thing to her self-discovery or whatever, you know?
Hmm.
What about Adam and Eve?
National Lampoon's
Evil.
You don't consider that a romantic comedy?
What the hell is that?
It's one of those random national...
Like straight-to-DVD ones?
No, it was in theater.
It was?
Yeah. For like 2 weeks or something?
I feel sorry for the one person that bought a ticket for it.
That's romantic comedy.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
If something's rated R, it's not a romantic comedy. That's what I'm trying to say.
Tell you it's a romantic comedy.
No, he's got a point. At a certain level, the romance has to supersede the comedy because romance is in so many other films.
I would say
Indiana Jones has romance in it.
Like
and that's an adventure movie. I wouldn't call that a romantic adventure.
Yeah.
And but I would call it Romancing the Stone and romantic adventure because I think the key here is that the female-male interaction has to be, like, you'd have to have trouble determining who's the protagonist, who's the main character driving the narrative, I think. If that's the issue, then you could probably better off calling it a romantic comedy because who's the real one that's pushing the narrative that's sort of co-opted between the two of them? Then it's a romantic comedy.
I think it has to just be overridingly romance, and then the comedy very, 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 very secondary, or tertiary even.
Oh, wow. Not quaternary?
I wouldn't go that far.
Hmm. Talking about protein structures now. Figuratively.
Anyway, they suck. They're not very good.
No. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thought it wouldn't matter if we didn't stay together. And if it was over, maybe it was for the better. I was thinking I'd be alright till I thought it all through. Man, if she comes back around again, I might not have to get another body part besides my heart replaced. And he goes, leans over and goes, it rhymes with cock.